Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith.
One church, many locations. Amen. I feel like a bit transient, really. I just move from one place to another, but that's okay. There's still one body. When God looks upon his church, he desires to see a people of light who walk in the light as those who belong to the kingdom of light. You belong to the kingdom of light. Amen. What a privilege it is to be a child of God. You know, how great is the Father's love that he's lavished on me, that you call me a child of God, and that is what I am. Our lives impacting the spiritual darkness of the world around us. What a privilege. Jesus is the light. Amen. His words are the words of light. His Spirit, the Spirit who brings the light. See, walking in the light is the evidence, the practical evidence. Walking in the light is the practical evidence, step by step with Jesus, that we are his disciples. If our heart is full of light, our thoughts, our motives, our intentions, our words, our actions will be full of light. So everything we speak, everything we say, from the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. We want to be speaking light, not darkness. Amen. Jesus says the eye is the light of the body. Now we are to keep our eye, in a sense, singular. What do I mean by that? We fix them upon him. We don't fix them on circumstances, we don't fix them on problems, we don't fix them. But as we keep our eyes fixed on him, looking at him, the greatness of who he is, faith rises in our hearts. Why? Because we're beholding light. We're beholding the one who is light. We're beholding the one who's speaking light over us, speaking his word to us. What does the enemy want to do? It's really to entice us, really, to keep our eyes on ourselves. I'm a really, really boring subject. Jesus is a really, really exciting subject. Amen. Of course, I'm fearfully, wonderfully made. I'm created by him, for him. I'm made uniquely by his grace to be the person that God's called me to be. God passionately loves me so much that he died for me on the cross and then gave me the gift of that life but through the power of the Holy Spirit. When Jesus was buried, when Jesus came up out of the grave, when Jesus was resurrected and went back into heaven, he took me with him in that sense. I'm already seated in Christ. I'm already living in light in the spiritual realm in heavenly places. Sometimes my head and my heart need to get hold of that and just really afresh. You see, to have double vision is dangerous. And we need to be careful how we use our eyes. See, we can look at images that will cause the wrong desires to rise up within us. However, with a pure heart, we will avoid such images and turn away from them if placed before us. I love David in the Psalms. What an amazing person that God chose this shepherd boy, this young man. But he created him with a heart after God. And in a sense, in David's life, he's kind of typified the whole sort of realm of mankind, because David was a worshiper. When every time David had his eyes on God and he was worshiping God, he was doing good. You see, there was moments in his life where his vision became blurred and double. But one of the Psalms, it's not on the on the acetate, Chris, so don't worry. It says, Psalm 101, verse 3. So David said, so what's happening there? There's something going off in his heart. I have set before my eyes no vile thing. What does the word, what does the Philippians say to us? Whatever is good, whatever is praiseworthy, whatever is lovely, think about such things. You see, we can get infected by stuff and not even realize that we get infected. And bless him, You know, what happened to David just on that one wonderful morning when, in a sense, when he should have been going out to war, his vision became, in a sense, double mighty. He should have been where God's called him to be, but he was looking at Bathsheba. And obviously the fruit of that choice led to a lot of pain in his life because he didn't live out the reality of that. And you see, I don't know if you've noticed at the moment, dark is getting darker, light is getting lighter. Darkness is becoming even increasingly dark in our nation. Why do I say that? Well, this is actually in the Psalms. We live in a society in which what is vile is honoured. Really crazy, twisted, warped thing. What is vile is honoured. Things like that of depravity are thought to be, it's kind of like pushed up in the realm of humour or pushed up in the realm of, and it's kind of, well, it's not. And it's not going to be the destiny of our nation. I mean, we're part of it. We're part to make a difference. I'm believing today that something's going to happen in your heart, okay, where we're going to, one, just readjust our vision. But you see, God has given us such authority over the power of the enemy. Amen. Such authority. And we put up with so much stuff that we don't actually need to put up with. But let's go on this little bit of a journey there before we get there. Okay, first scripture, Chris, thanks. Proverbs 4:25 says, let your eyes look straight ahead of you. Fix your gaze directly before you. Make level paths for your feet and take only ways that are firm. Do not swerve to the right or to the left, but keep your foot from evil. The word of God is a lamp unto our body and a light unto our path. As we're digesting the word, as we're reading the word, it's a lamp to us. It's helping us move. It stops us from going off in a direction that we need to go into and be enticed into something where the enemy could manipulate, steal, kill, or destroy. Matthew 6:22. Now this is Jesus. If ever it's going to be said by Jesus, this is going to be a powerful one. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? God isn't calling any of us or his children to walk in a kind of twilight. Do you remember the Twilight Zone years ago, for those who can remember it? It's before I was a Christian. But God hasn't called us to live in a twilight, a half-dim light, a mixture of light and darkness. You see, it is foolish to expose ourselves to sexually explicit images or violent and horrific images in the belief that these will have no effect upon our souls. If we do that, what we're actually doing, and we're engaging with darkness, and darkness comes to try and steal, kill, and destroy, and very soon or later we're in the realm of guilt and shame. Very, very soon, darkness has come into our minds because we want to pray, but we can't get the images out of our minds. We want to walk in the light. It is darkness to look on others with judgment and critical attitudes, no matter what the nature of people have done. It's very easy for this to be about people, where we judge people, where we're critical. See, God doesn't want us to criticize. He wants us to be speaking life over people, speaking mercy and forgiveness. The things of darkness are not changed by speaking about them, but by bringing the light of God's truth to bear upon them. Amen? Amen. 1 John 1:5. This is all the introduction before we get to the exciting bit. Because I really believe, there's a release that needs to happen this morning in our lives. There's a release from our hearts that needs to happen. 1 John 1:5 says, this is the message. is given to us to announce you. God is light, and there is no darkness in him at all. Amen. Absolutely no darkness at all. His whole body, everything about him, every thought, every aspect of his character and nature is full of light. He's full of love. He's full of power. He is light. Isn't it interesting? The first words he says is, "Let there be light." He couldn't help light coming out of him because it was his nature to breathe that light out of him. And he breathes that light into us. Isn't that wonderful? So we are lying if we say we have fellowship with God, but go on living in spiritual darkness. We're not living in the truth. But if we are living in the light of God's presence, just as Christ is, what Jesus did on the cross and what he suffered through the, you know, in a sense, that blood that purchased us enables us now to literally come in to the, like the Holy of Holies, to come very in where the curtain was ripped apart. Now we can come in and we can be with Jesus. We can live being in the light. We can walk being in the light. What a privilege. That blood speaks our access. That blood speaks our the grace, the ability, the God-given gift that we can come and meet with God. But if we are living in the light of God's presence, just as Christ is, then we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from every sin. I don't think there's God's intention for any believer to be independent. You know, like sometimes you hear some Christians, "I'm an independent Christian." Well, God didn't design you. God designed you to be in a body. God designed you to network. God designed you to be in relationship, walking in the light. If I was in a, I'm doing a Freedom small group in Horsham now. Thank you, Jesus. It's fine. But if I was in, you know, the Freedom small group with Rohan and or the guys that are doing the group, and there was issues that I needed to deal with in my life, yes, at one level I can confess them to God, and I think it's really important, you know, that we keep our lives free. But if there was something that was I needed to bring because I wasn't finding the victory or to establish the victory, I'd go, "Rohan, could you stand with me, mate? Because I'm struggling here." And the reality of the power of that relationship that keeps us walking in the light with one another stops the enemy isolating us, stops the enemy causing us to be pulled in a sense. So the whole point of this is relationship as well. Relationship with God, but relationship with others. Isn't it great? We can have fantastic, you can have an absolutely tremendous, fantastic, brilliant relationship with God. It's when you start bumping up against other people, that's when it's fun, you know? That life. But if we're living in the light of God's presence, just as Christ is, then we have fellowship with each other, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from every sin. Verse 9, it says, "But if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from every wrong." What really I'm basically saying here is a scripture from James. We submit ourselves to God. We submit ourselves to in one another. You know, we're open. We share our lives with one another. We submit to see. That gives us tremendous authority to then resist the enemy. Yeah? We're not called to live in isolation. We're not called to live in twilight. You're an army. Whether you like it or not, you're part of the army. You're part of God's army. Well, I don't want to be in that. Well, God isn't, in a sense, it's not about, you know, our choice. Well, I don't want to be in that group. I don't like that person. Well, God didn't tell you to like him. He told you to love him. He's called us together for a reason. Amen. If you're not convinced about this, just listen to this. Proverbs 28 verse 13 says, "He who conceals his sin does not prosper." God doesn't want me living in darkness. God doesn't want me. Why? Because I'm not going to prosper. Because if I'm living in darkness, I'm allowing, in a sense, you know, it says, do not give the devil a foothold. I don't want this foothold to become a stronghold in my life. And we can't allow that to happen, because there's a greater reality that's going to play out. But whoever confesses and renounces them finds mercy. Isn't that wonderful? Confession. I'm not talking about going to the priest. I'm talking about sharing our lives. I'm talking about confessing to God. As we bring stuff out from the darkness into the light, we find mercy. We find grace. We find healing. This is all part of where God's reality to help us to be with one another. James 5:16. I love this. You know, this is the scripture that's not really quoted a lot. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Isn't that interesting? Confess. Bring into the light. Why? Because God wants to bring healing. You know, if there's any stuff in my life that I'm walking in darkness, you know, there's a place for repentance. Repentance is a complete change of heart and mind. I was going one way, and now I turn around and go another way. But there's also a place I'm not going to ask everybody to repent and confess your sins today. You're all going, where's he going with this? No, don't worry. Don't worry. It's okay. We're not going there. But I'm saying to you, what gives us our confidence as children of light is that we live in relationship. We live in a place of integrity with one another. We live openly. We live with that reality of my life. Your life matters. Rowan's life matters. Rachel's life matters. And if there's anything that we need to put right, we have the confidence to be able to share with one another, you know, please forgive me, Rohan, or whatever it is, you know, because I've really struggled in this area. But Lord, you know, just stand with me. You see, God is not punishing us. He's opened the way for mercy, but we can help each other be effective soldiers in the army. Amen. Okay. To live in Christ is to live in the one who is the light. And it's an expansive place because he is so great, so mighty, so immense. In him there is no spiritual restrictions, nothing to hinder your walk with him. Living in him gives you boldness and confidence because you are given authority over every power that is opposed to him. As we live in him, as we abide in him, as we submit to him, as we surrender to Christ and to one another, we have tremendous authority over the enemy. Amen? I'm going to show you a couple of pictures now of this is how God sees the Crawley Church. Here we go. You're an army. If you notice there, no one's walking alone. They're shoulder to shoulder together. Now, obviously, they were contending in the physical realm. We're contending in the spiritual realm. You notice every person, you know, had the helmet, the breastplate, had the belt, had the sword. I think they were carrying spears on that occasion. But they had the shield. You see, you've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Are you living in the blessing of every aspect? Because that represents, in a sense, Ephesians 6, doesn't it? That represents every part of the armor and every part of, walking together. But we're close. We're in relationship. We're not going to allow anything to come in. And the next slide, please, Chris. I love this one. If you've got a shield, let's use it. Yeah? You see how amazing? You know, we put up the shield of faith. Do you remember Pastor Clive ages ago? He says, oil the shields. Oil the shields. It's, you know, our shields, they need to be kept oiled. Why? Because when they become brittle, they break. But when they're oiled, what is the oil? The oil is the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And that oil, you see, when the enemy tries to fire, have you had any fiery darts this week hit your brain? Hit your heart, trying to distract you. You know, thoughts coming into your head that aren't positive thoughts. Is it only me that struggled or had to realize? But you see, how effective it is when we're together as an army. Amen. We are an army of light. Just say to your friend, I belong to the army of light. It's true. You see, we're an army. But what I loved about the Romans, see, what they worked out was, you know, they'd worked out strategy. Okay, we have the shield here, you know what I mean? And that shield covers us from front attack. But then you've got your brothers and sisters, you know, behind you with their shields, covering you as well. And you see how the whole thing works there? You know, they were formidable. Human reality, but we are a formidable spiritual reality together when we're moving together, one heart, one mind, one direction, close in relationship. Yeah, but what happens is the enemy wants to take us out and separate us from the body in a place of isolation, because the moment the enemy gets people isolated, he can attack them, you know, from every side. You know, we had a weird thing on Saturday morning in the car park. There's this, bless her heart, you know, I mean, we spoke God's blessing. We were just getting out of our car, and this car came past, and this lady just towards Rachel just went, "I am watching you. I am watching you." And she did it round the whole car park, and it was like, right. I know that doesn't seem a lot, but you see, it was like, I'm not going to get intimidated. That's a spirit of intimidation. She doesn't know us, you know what I mean? So once we walked away, Lord, we forgive her. We love her. We thank you for her. We plead the blood of Jesus over you, over that lady. We just speak protection over our children. You see, are we using every aspect of the armor? Have we become so desensitized for those spiritual things that God has given us to protect us? Are we sort of parked here and saying, oh, I can't. You see, God doesn't want us to live with head knowledge. He wants to live with heart revelation. Once you've got heart revelation, God has illuminated, filled that area with your life. You're going to walk in a different way. Amen? You're going to walk in a different way. I'm going to share something now. And I know this is, as we start to get here, we are called to be a part of the body of Christ. It's time for us to be an army of light. It's time. We're not going to put up with the enemy's rubbish anymore. Yeah? As soon as you start moving forward, what does the enemy try to do? I know he's had to try to pop at some of the children in the body here. He's tried to attack, you know what I mean, in some situations and circumstances. And things have happened. I'm not glorifying the enemy. All I'm saying is, enough is enough. Amen. Yeah? There's got to be something that rises up on the side of you that goes, enough is enough. Now, if we're playing around with darkness and we're messing with darkness, that's an aspect of God's loving kindness touching us and that's leading us to repentance. We can move out of that because we can say, God, I'm sorry that I've been playing around with the things of darkness. I've been speaking darkness. And actually, you've called me to be a soldier. You've called me to be someone of light. You haven't called me to criticize people, to speak negatively. You called me to speak blessing, mercy, grace, and wholeness into the... Now, I'm not saying it's easy, because we live in a broken and busted up world. I was shocked this week. Something happened in Horsham, right? And 37-year-old man got murdered right in the middle of Horsham. The news story can't have been more than possibly a minute in length. And what shocked me was my heart attitude towards it. I'm not looking at anyone else here, have I been so desensitized by what I hear every day in our nation? Was it just another story in the news? Or was it a precious soul lost into eternal darkness forever? Do you hear what I'm saying? Was it just a story on the news? How did it impact my heart and my life? See, God has given us, you know, we had another horrible thing happen a few weeks ago. See, what the enemy is trying to do is trying to establish, I'm going to use a bit Star Trek-y now, right, use the Star Trek terminology, like portholes, gateways. He's trying to establish a gateway by something terrible. He'll try and bring it into the fabric of where we live. This is our time, church, to say no. It's our time to actually say, it's almost like there needs to be a militant, resolute part of your heart where you go, enough is enough. And that's not out of a pride. It's not out of an arrogance. It's out of a commission for God to say, I have given you authority over all the powers of the enemy. I've given it to your church. Come on, stand up, church. That's what God's speaking to me. Stand up, Gary. Don't be desensitized. Do you know what I mean? This attack and that thing. Because all the enemy is trying to do is trying to use intimidation and fear to bring people under something. But you don't have to live under something. You can live in the reality of what God wants you to live in. And that's the way, the truth, and the life. Are you standing up on the inside? Am I offending anyone today? I don't mind if I'm offending anyone today. Because God, you got to realize that the devil wants to, it is a nasty, nasty, nasty piece of work. And he wants to steal, kill, and destroy. He doesn't matter how he's going to do that. But God has commissioned us at this time to go, enough is enough. I'm not having it in Crawley. We are not having it in Crawley. We are not having portholes opened that would allow the destroyer to come in to steal, kill, and destroy. And it's still not the message that I want to say to you today. That's just all, it's all a preparation for what I want to say to you today. See, as an army of light, our commission from God is to come against the powers of darkness. If God has given you, like those soldiers, spiritual authority, and you're not walking in your spiritual authority, he just laughs. The enemy just laughs. If we play with fire and play around with darkness, he just laughs. We want to come up in a prayer meeting, we want to do business with God, and yet... 2 hours ago, we've been looking at porno, or we've been criticizing, being negative. He just laughs. He just laughs. But we're called to be an army of light. Authority in the spiritual realm. Not out of arrogance. Hear my heart here. It's not out of arrogance. It's because we want to see this place full of people that have been saved and set free. It's because... Now, I'm going to go down a little bit of a journey. And this for me, here's this interesting. We need to have this militant attitude towards the enemy, but not aggressive towards people. God is raising us up at this time to speak what he is speaking. Now, here's the great challenge here. There is a difference between those who are victims, but also those who cause these things. Here's the punch. But Jesus loved them both. Jesus loved them both. For the victims and for the ones that are doing it, Jesus loved them both. God reminded me of an old hymn. It's not often I get reminded of an old hymn, but I was reminded of one. Do you remember? To God be the glory, great things he has done, and great are rejoicing in Jesus. Remember that one, yeah? Now there's a verse in there, and God sort of went, I want you to read that verse out on Sunday, Gary. Because part of it really messes with us. And you think, really, God, is your mercy that great? Is your mercy? Do you know what the verse was in the line? The vilest offender who truly believes that moment from Jesus a pardon receives. The vilest. That was hard to come by, Lord. I'm not blaming everything on the devil. I'm not blaming everything in that sense, because I know the responsibility with, you know, what a man does. But you see, the cross has to be the cross. The vilest offender, yes, who truly believes. The darkest person caught in the most deepest darkest that goes, Jesus, forgive me, I am sorry. I'm sorry that I killed that person. Forgive me, God. Well, there may be consequences from that thing. Now we know that. The consequences are they'd probably be in prison. Consequences are they'd be kept, you know, kept away from society. But the, you know, but in my heart of hearts, and God's heart of love is, you know, God isn't calling us to judge people. He loves people. But the vilest offender, if you, we can, in a sense, we're talking about that word vile. You know, the vilest offender who truly believes, that moment from Jesus, a pardon receives. The mercy of God, the grace of God, the love of God for that person. That offends my thinking a little bit. Can anybody come back from such darkness? Well, Jesus suffered the darkest thing possible. He suffered complete black, utter depravity. He didn't sin, but he bore that upon his body. So once and for all. And by doing that, you see, he destroyed the works of the devil. He destroyed all of those unclean, horrible, disgusting creatures, you know, demonic creatures. He destroyed the power of those by bearing that on his body, by going into the grave, by being raised from the Father. And he was raised over every principality and power. And you are now today raised in Christ in over every principality and power. It doesn't feel like it, but you are. It doesn't feel like it, but you are today. Amen. I tell you, I'm not having this anymore in my life. If something's got to happen in you, you're not having this. Not having your kids being stolen. You're not having this anymore. There's a resolute, you see, but we're not trying to muster up emotional strength. Why? You've got the mighty warrior living in you by the power of the Holy Spirit. You've got Christ in you, the hope of glory, inside your life. He's ready to come out and go, no! In the name of Jesus. It stops now in the name of Jesus. Yeah? When I'm speaking this today, I'm not just speaking to you, I'm speaking to the stuff above this. Principalities and powers. Amen? We're not playing church. Church is not a game. It's a spiritual reality where people go, in a sense, where darkness is fighting up against light, but the light has already won. Amen. And the light has won, and it's called Jesus. The light has already won, but he wants us to be ambassadors of light. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and against the authorities and against the powers of this dark world, against the perpetrators of evil in the heavenly realms. We don't judge the perpetrators of the deepest darkness. We come against the principalities that are doing it. We don't judge people. How do we do that? Can I have the worship guys up? Worship guys, worship guys, worship guys, worship guys, worship guys. How do we do that? How are we going to do this? Psalm 145, verse 6. Let the high praises, you can start whenever you want to start, mate, it's fine. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a double-edged sword in their hand. God wants to bring alive a militancy. Now, I praise God that we have wonderful times of intimacy and wonderful times of worship. But I'm going to speak something into being in Crawley. And we're going to pray also for Niall and all the worship team. God is going to release a militant sound. There's a militancy. There's a, you know, well, I don't like the militant songs. Well, this isn't about what we like. This is about what God wants us to do in this season. There's a militancy. You see, with the high praises of God in our mouth and a double-edged sword in our hand. And I know it says the following verse, to seek vengeance. But you see, I heard this the other day. You know the sword that you know we saw the soldiers. We see that sword. The enemy is happy if you've got your sword in your belt and you're not using it. I heard this the other day. As you take your sword out, it's a double-edged sword. One side of that sword is what God has spoken to you, and the other side of the sword is what you speak out, you know, from against the enemy. One side, how do I know that? Jesus said, when he came against the enemy, he said, it is written. He got it from his Father, it is written. One side, be gone. You know, man doesn't live by bread alone. Whatever that's contending. God wants us to take the swords out. Amen. Take the swords out of the sheath and actually go, no, in prayer. No, we're not having this. But there's also in the mixture of this, there's a release of high praise. There's high praise. There's exaltation. When you exalt Jesus, when you praise Jesus over your family, Satan hates praise. Satan, obviously, he was once, you know, I mean, his whole body permeated. He was, you know, timbrels and lyres, and his, you know. But he fell like lightning because of pride in his heart. And that's why he hates worship. But you see, when you are up against it and when stuff's happening with you, don't go into a cave of depression. Come out of that cave and go, Jesus, I praise you. Jesus, I worship you. Jesus, I praise you. Jesus, I'm just going to give you a demo now, right? Jesus. Jesus, I magnify your name over every life here. Jesus, I praise you over Crawley. I praise you, Jesus, over every heart and over every life. Hey, Jesus, I magnify your name. I break every curse in the name of Jesus. I break every weapon that's formed. I exalt your name. You see, there's something on the inside of you. There's something on the inside of you. God says, want it out. Want it out. Amen. I'm not a happy bunny with the enemy. I love people. Yeah? If you think you can just have a pop at our children in Crawley we start walking out in the purposes of God, you've got another thing coming. Amen? Not in arrogance, but in humility. Because like Jesus, we only speak what he tells us to speak. Psalm 45, verse 3 and 4. This is the Lord now. Gird up your sword upon your side, O mighty one. Clothe yourselves with splendor and majesty. In your majesty, ride forth victoriously. In behalf of truth, humility and righteousness, let your hand display awesome deeds. Psalm 118. Now, I read this in the message now. And a lot of us would know Pastor Clive's word that he had years ago, the tide is turning. But I want you to I want you to understand this in a new light now. God is going to release triumph songs. God is going to release victory songs into the body. Something for Crawley. Amen. It says, hear the shouts. Hear the triumph songs in the camp of the saved. Why? Those songs are powerful and those songs are mighty. The hand of God has turned the tide. The hand of God is raised in victory. The hand of God has turned the tide. See, how do I know this? From the time John the Baptist began to preach until now, the kingdom of heaven has been advancing on earth by power. Now listen, and forceful people are laying hold of it. Not controlling, but those energized by the Holy Spirit, submitting to God. Not controlling, but we are taking hold of. Are you ready to stand and worship for a bit here? Do you want to stand up? Yeah, just with me. What I want us to do, I want this to come from your heart. You see, the weapons of our warfare are mighty in God, to the pulling down of strongholds. The weapons that God has given us. I want us to release a shout of praise. Not where that we're shouting into the air, but we're exalting Jesus over our families. We're exalting Jesus over our circumstances. You see, it's literally, it's like the high praises of God. And then I'm gonna pray for Niall and the guys up there. There's a militant side. There's a militancy that God wants to just to raise in our hearts to come against the enemy. So in a minute, we're just gonna praise. But let it come out. Don't just sit there and, you know, I'm not doing this morning because I don't want to. Well, you're gonna go away blessed because that's your attitude. God wants you to be obedient. And sometimes we just gotta go for it. God is caught. We're in a war, but we're people of light. We're people of light. We're not messing with the darkness anymore. I'm just going to pray for 1 minute. Father, if any way I've messed around with anything of the enemy, I've played around and I thought, well, it doesn't matter. I can watch that porno. I can watch that horror film. I can watch that stuff and it doesn't affect my soul. Father, forgive me for being self-deceived. Forgive me for allowing darkness to come. You say if we confess our sin, you're faithful and just to forgive us from all unrighteousness. If you've done anything, just put it right with God now. Just put it right. You've been angry at someone. You know, unforgiveness is a realm of darkness in our hearts because we don't choose to accept the fact that we have been forgiven. If we're holding on to any bitterness, let it go now. Forgive the people that need to be forgiven. Don't let darkness be the ruler and the grip of you. But Father, I just thank you for the power of your blood. Let's just raise our hands to him now. Just raise your hands. Just thank him for the blood, for that forgiveness. That forgiveness. That forgiveness right now. The blood of Jesus. If I blame someone else for something that's gone off in my life, please forgive me, Lord. If I blame the church, if I blame the pastor, if I blame this person, blame that. Father, I forgive. Father, forgive me for the spirit of offense taking place in my heart and my mind. If I've been critical of people, I'm allowing darkness. Father, if I've spoken stuff that's not in line with your word over people, Lord God, you haven't caused us to fight one another. You caused us to stand up and fight against the power of the enemy. And Father, I thank you right now for that forgiveness. I thank you for the blood of Jesus. I thank you for the cleansing of your hand right now in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you that no weapon formed against us shall prosper in the name of Jesus. Right, all we're going to do now is I just want you to call on his name, exalt his name, just praise his name, praise him. Jesus! Jesus!
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.